This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
So the next couple of weeks, hundreds of queer scientists are going to get together in Sydney for a bit of a talk fest, I suppose. To talk to us about that, we have Hervé Sanquet on the phone, who's a botanist from the Royal Botanic Gardens. Good morning to you, Hervé.
Oh, hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you this morning?
Very well, thank you.
Excellent. So tell us about this initiative. Are you scientists who are queer, or are you scientists who are interested in queer things, or both?
So I am both, and usually we like to think of these things as completely independent and not mattering to each other. There's a lot of movements at the moment throughout the world. There's various associations, especially in the U.S. And a new thing that just popped up also last June was a visibility campaign called 500 Queer Scientists, which was started by a lesbian scientist who works on spiders and scorpions at the California Academy of Sciences. And her idea was similar to visibility campaigns for women in science, that not everyone knows we're out there. Not everyone knows there are a lot of queer scientists, and they don't even know each other. So there's a lot of scientists who are identify as queer and know no one else in their field who have the same sexual identity.
Fantastic. Hervé, it's Harriet Shing here. I imagine that the question of visibility is amplified in science, given that the depth and breadth of your various fields of study and research taking you often into very far-flung areas and making it difficult to form those connections. How has the 500 Queer Scientists initiative tried to overcome those sorts of obstacles?
So what's been incredible is I was lucky to be contacted before the campaign started, and so they wanted to make a big splash with a press release. So I think at the very beginning of June, we were about 50 on the website.
50?
And then 50 were scientists. People added on. We passed the 500 bar a few months later, and now we're almost at 1,000.
And now you're sold out. It's fantastic for the event. It's absolutely brilliant. This is a wonderful, wonderful initiative to grow that level of engagement. But I noticed when you referred to the commencement of this initiative from a woman with expertise in spiders and scorpions, that's quite a specific subject matter. What are the other fields from which scientists have come together to be part of this initiative? What are their areas of expertise and specialisation?
Yeah, people are coming from all over, all parts of science, so physics, chemistry, biology, mathematics. There seems to be a little tendency that biologists are very open, so we experience less discrimination in the workplace.
Perhaps that's Darwin working well there.
I don't know. We study diversity, so it's in our blood. It's in our everyday work to understand and study diversity. So perhaps it's a little bit more obvious to our spec colleagues that it's all fine.
So what happens after this event that takes place next week?
So the event that I'm organizing at the Royal Botanic Garden in Sydney was initially prompted by this visibility campaign. Wouldn't it be nice to have a local event in Sydney that we could schedule during Mardi Gras and that would address this topic? Because there's very little, very few events, very little literature on this topic. So what we're doing is we're bringing five people from the Sydney region to talk and have a panel discussion on these issues. What happens next, I'm not sure, but my dream is to actually repeat the events every year and possibly have more networking options for scientists.
And possibly move it to other cities around the country as well, wouldn't you?
Absolutely, that's a great idea. Yeah.
Well, you've sown some seeds there, Yvette, in relation to how we might attract you to Melbourne and what that might look like in the future, given the really significant calendar of events that we're still in the process of celebrating as part of the Midsummer Festival and what that all looks like around bringing people together from a wide range of communities. What are you looking forward to most for the event on Tuesday, which is sold out, I note?
Yeah, it sold out much faster than we expected. So there seems to be a very strong interest in the community, not necessarily the scientists, but also our queer community to hear about us being scientists. What do I expect? I am not sure, actually. I expect a very interesting discussion among people who we hardly know each other. We just had a brief meeting last week to prepare the event. It's hard to know what will come out of it because we normally speak about our science. We give conference talks. We teach occasionally. In our private life, we are part of the community. And so this will be the first time that the two things come together at once.
And is there any
way... I think it will be great.
Is there any way that people can stay in touch or find out more after the event?
Very good question, Harrius.
I'm not sure yet. We will stay in touch and we will try and grow the network. So if there are any queer scientists out there, I strongly encourage them to join the campaign so we will know they're around, know their location. And that way I can set up a local network for Sydney or for Australia.
How can they contact you or how can they actually find out what's going on?
It's very simple. So the website that was created is called 500 Queer Scientists, No Spaces. And you'll find there all the stories of all the people, and there's a simple link to contribute one story. So it's very easy just to write a few lines, provide a photo. And I strongly encourage your listeners to have a look. It's incredible, the diversity of queer scientists out there.
Hervé, it sounds like a fantastic initiative. Congratulations. I hope this goes from strength to strength and it becomes a new force in itself. So congratulations on the initiative.
Much.
We look forward to touching base with you again in the future to learn what you've learned through this initiative.
And to bringing it to Melbourne, Hervé.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can't wait.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you so much. Goodbye. Goodbye, Hervé.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.
What an interesting initiative, Harriet.
Isn't that brilliant? I think that science and technology and engineering and maths, so the STEM subjects, have been such a significant area of reform and becoming more inclusive and moving from that very siloed way of thinking and working to much broader communities and being more inclusive is a massive part of that. So what a wonderful event. The only shortcoming is that it's in Sydney. We'll get them down to Melbourne, I reckon.
We will too. And seriously, doesn't it actually just reinforce that point that we queers are everywhere?
Everywhere.
Really? I mean, there's not a section of society that we haven't participated
maybe
in.
Some of the dark corners of the Liberal Party, but that's a matter perhaps
There are plenty of queers in the Liberal Party as well.
No, in the dark corners.
Well,
they should
come out. I hate to admit it, but it's true.
And have their say because there's more to do.
Hi, this is John Borghetti, the CEO of Virgin Australia. Just like Joy 94.9, we are flying high and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.